This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 208, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives, Idolatry. The spiritual appetizer we will be using in this episode is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, idolatry. Turn with me now and let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves? Whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Idolatry. Idolatry is a big problem in our world today. It is a problem that causes so much pain and suffering in the world. People put other things above God in this world today. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you." When we place something else above God, we're not seeking first the kingdom of God. And anything that we place above God becomes an idol in our lives. And a lot of times in our world today, that is money. Money becomes more important to us than anything in the world. And we place it above God. We place it above God so much that we have these great big old houses and real fancy cars out in the parking lot that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And when God says to assemble with the church, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but so much more as you see that day approaching," we have to go to work on Sunday, when God has commanded us to assemble with the saints in order to be able to pay for those fancy cars that we have, those fancy houses that we have, that we've overextended ourselves in order to have in our lives, and we are unable to obey the command of God. And that makes those things in our lives, no matter what it is, it can be a house, a car, a boat, anything that we place over obeying the command of God, it makes it an idol in our lives. And if we go back all the way to the time of the Ten Commandments, matter of fact, when the Ten Commandments were being written on Mount Sinai, God gives a warning to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Read with me Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So just after coming out of bondage in Egypt, they come to Mount Sinai. And Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God. And God tells them, number one, you can have no other gods before me. And then he goes on to explain this. Any carved image, any likeness of anything, anything that you bow down and serve. Now, in today's society, we don't necessarily have carved images or things that we worship of the earth, such as water or the heavens or anything like that, like the Romans and the Greeks did. But we definitely serve things. We serve money. We divide our attention. We try to serve two masters. As Jesus would say in the New Testament, you cannot serve two masters. For either you will love the one and hate the other, or you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, the King James and New King James say. Mammon means money. And that's where our idols come into play in our lives. And a lot of times in our culture today is in money. We bow down and serve the almighty dollar. Whatever the almighty dollar tells us to do, that's what we're going to do. And God, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, writing the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, he tells them, don't do this. You cannot serve me and an idol. It just simply doesn't work. I am a jealous God, a very jealous God. I want you for me. Because I made you. I am your creator. I am the one that loves you so much that I took care of you, that I made a promise to Abraham and fulfilled that promise to Abraham to make you a great and mighty nation, Israel. That's how much he loved them. And when the Egyptians were taking advantage of them, he sent Moses and Aaron to them to bring plagues upon Egypt, to bring them out of that bondage so that they could be his people. So he's a very jealous God, just as we that are married today are jealous of our wives. We don't want anybody else having our wives. We're jealous of them because we love them so much and we dedicate our lives to them. We've become one with them. Well, that's what God wanted with the children of Israel. If you look at John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying just before his crucifixion, he says in verse 11 of John chapter 17, that he wants to be one with the Christians. In John chapter 17 and verse 11, he says, let them be one as I and the Father are one. He wants to be one with us. He wants to be married to us. He wants to have that contract with us. Christ is our husband. We are his bride as the church. And so he is a jealous God. And that's why idolatry is so wrong. If we go back to the time of Israel, during the time that Moses was up on that mountain, notice that Israel, even when Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, they were making an idol for themselves. This is how easy it is to serve an idol and not God. In Exodus chapter 32, in verses 1 through 11, the Bible says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron, and said to him, come and make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Notice something in verse 7 before we go on. He doesn't say my people. He says your people, Moses. Moses, this is your people. They're corrupting themselves. Going on in verse 8, he says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it. and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people." Now notice in verse 10, remember he said that he's a jealous God? Notice what he says in verse 10. "Now therefore, let me alone." This is how jealous he is. "That my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" And so we see the jealous nature of God, but we also see the forgiving nature of God here, because he doesn't destroy them. He listens to Moses and he relents. But we see he is a jealous God, and he's still a jealous God today. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that Jesus is God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And so we see Jesus is God. God is a jealous God. He wants us to have no other gods before him. And when Israel was making themselves another god, he said, "This is not going to take place with my people. I am going to consume them." Luckily, they had Moses, and we have Jesus, because we turn to idols today as well. And Jesus will stand up before God if we repent and come back, and he will be our mediator, and he will make our case before God. But we cannot continue in the sin of idolatry and expect Jesus to make our case before God. We have to come out of that idolatry and start living for him and doing things right in his sight. Anything that we place before God is an idol. Going on to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 4, it says, "Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourself molten gods. I am the Lord your God." Let's not turn to idols. Let's remember that we have a God that is going to take care of us, just as he took care of the children of Israel. When they were in Egyptian bondage and they cried out to him, he sent Moses and Aaron to bring them out. And when Pharaoh would not let go of them, when he would not soften his heart and listen to God, he sent 10 plagues upon Egypt, even to the death of the firstborn children, in order to take care of his people. And his people continually forgot him. I mean, just as soon as they came out, they came to the river, and the Egyptians were following after them. And they said, "Moses, why did you bring us out here to die?" They had already forgotten the power that God had showed them. And they would go across there, and he would show them his power again and take care of them. And they'd go across there, and as soon as they had another opportunity, when they were thirsty or hungry, they would cry out again and say, "Moses, why did you do this?" And so he would feed them, and he would make sure they had water. He would make sure they were taken care of all the time. But they always turned to other idols. This was a major problem in Israel's life. And it's a problem that eventually got them carried away into Babylonian captivity, where they would spend 70 years in Babylonian captivity because they refused to serve God. We need to remember this, and we need to read it in the Old Testament. And we need to see how much God hates idolatry. And we need to do better than Israel. We need to make sure that we're not placing anything above God. Never, ever should we place anything above God and his commandments. He should be first in our life all the time, without exception. Now, we're lucky that he will forgive us if we come back to him. But he needs to be first in our life. If we look at Isaiah chapter 44, and we read verses 15 through 19. Read this with me. "Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire. With this half he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, 'Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire.' And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it, prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God. They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it into an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" You see, this is how ridiculous it is. When Moses was up on the mountain listening to the true God and receiving the Ten Commandments, they made a molten calf. That molten calf could do absolutely nothing for them. They were pretending that it was something wonderful. They made it with their hands, just as Isaiah is talking about here. You cut down this tree. You build a fire out of it. You bake on it. You roast your meat on it. And then you take the rest of it and you turn it into an idol. That idol can't do anything for you. You made it. That's what we need to remember in this world. When we're serving other gods, when we're serving money, money can't do anything for us. Ultimately, we brought nothing into this world, and we can be sure that we can carry nothing out of this world. Let's always remember that when it comes to serving God, that God is the only one that can truly take care of us. Our money may be good temporarily while we're in this world, but it's temporal. It's not going to follow us into the next. And we cannot make anything out of our money that is going to be able to get us to heaven. We cannot buy our way to heaven. It's not possible. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, idolatry. And so when God commands us to do certain things, especially when he commands us to come to worship, let's make sure that we're not placing anything above God, that we're looking to God for everything, for all of our needs in this life, because he has provided all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. An idol cannot do that. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.